So, Dick, how big's the lump in your throat after this one?
Yeah, well, gosh, it was emotional. It was emotional draining and you know, very emotional. A lot of people had a lot of tears in their eyes. And, you know, Hutch, it really took me back to 1986. I had the exact same feelings when Jack was on the back nine, hoping, praying. I was coming out of my seat. I was very unsettled.
Right.
And, you know, hoping that this storyline would come to fruition. And now, you know, we don't have to speculate on this storyline at all. Tiger Woods has won another major, and it's probably going to go down as the greatest golf moment and perhaps one of the greatest sporting moments of all time, considering what has transpired.
Certainly one of the great comebacks, there's no doubt about it. You know, and watching him, you talked about the emotional aspect of it. You know, I mean, his kids had never seen him win a major championship. All of a sudden, there they are, you know, with his mom. And, you know, they kept going back to when his dad met him in 97, after he won the 97 Masters. Boy, some really, really, real family stuff there. You know, it just that just added to the emotion of it all.
It's remarkable. It is truly remarkable in that, you know, it's Tiger Woods, as we all know, for the past, whatever, 10, 20 years, he's been polarizing. You either love him or you hate him.
Right.
But he's transcended himself into a higher elevation, kind of like where, you know, like I make the analogy when I was a kid. I was not a Muhammad Ali fan at all.
Mm-hmm.
But as Muhammad Ali transcended later into his life, you respect him. If you don't like him, you have to. And then you turn into a love. You love him because of what he represents, both in humanity and in the sport.
Yeah.
I think that goes a long way with Tiger. So all the naysayers, you're hoping for this moment. He's caused this very special moment, and it's just it transcends the sport.
Right.
And it transcends humanity. People love to break people down and watch them hit bottom, but at the same time, they also like to watch these great stories come back out, rebound these great stories, and that's what we just watched with Tiger Woods winning his 15th major.
Exactly, exactly. You know, now the question comes up. I mean, he's won his fifth green jacket. He's one short of Jack on that one. And there's the famous three short of Jack's overall record for majors. Can we start talking about that again?
Yes, well, I think I was talking to my son, Connor, and he mentioned to me, and I thought it was bang on, and this was obviously in the back nine, and he said that if Tiger goes on to win this, then it opens up a discussion with some reality that he could reach Jack's 18 or possibly surpass it.
Right.
However, if he doesn't win, if he lets it go, then, you know, it's probably the barrier that holds him back from winning another major. So that was, I thought, pretty kind of, you know, something that was interesting and that could stand true. But now that he has won, you know, it's funny because I've won a lot of money in bets because I've always said that Tiger would win another major.
Okay.
But I just can't remember who I betted in the past 5 years. So, but it was truly a great moment for those people who love sport, love the sport of golf. It's fantastic for the game of golf in itself.
Right.
And this reoccurrence of today's top players having to engage Tiger Woods. It's terrific storylines.
And when you talk about that major championship, what Connor was saying, you look at the players who Tiger basically outlasted, you know, on top of the leaderboard. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking Brooks Koepka. You're talking Dustin Johnson, Patrick Cantlay, an up-and-comer, you know, who shot a 64 in the third round.
Hey, Fino, Rahm, all those, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, Francesco Molinari himself.
That's right.
You know, they were all up there and all challenging Tiger. I mean, you got to come away with the fact that this wasn't just a win at the Masters. This was a real knock him down, drag him up, fight for it.
Yes, and what I loved about it, so we had the power hitters, we had Dustin, Dino, and these, you know, Phil Mickelson, you know, swinging out of his boots, and then you have Molinari and Tiger Woods, who are kind of the surgical guys. They're not gonna right. win by overpowering like everyone else. They had to be surgical. They had to be have patience and win through attrition and let the other people make the mistake. And you know, Molinari unfortunately made mistakes on 12 with his execution, and then had an unsatisfactory execution on his third shot and hit some trees on a shot into 15 and knocked him out of contention.
Right.
But this is what majors should come down to. I'm glad it came down to this because it's a victory for those who play smart golf or proper golf. It's mm-hmm. not a victory for the bombers. I'd hate to see that, mm-hmm. but that time is coming. And it was just great to see that the champion who won this one was a person who played strategic golf.
You brought up a good point about the war of attrition. This was not the dominant Tiger that we saw win by 15 shots at Pebble Beach in the U.S. Open.
Right.
You know, this was a Tiger who was sitting there waiting to pounce. You know, he was just kind of stalking his prey, so to speak. I know I'm throwing out a few cliches there about Tiger, but he was really just stalking his prey, waiting for something to happen. And he obviously got that at the 15th hole.
Well, we are seeing a very different Tiger. I mean, we're watching a Tiger Woods. Like, his iron game and his ball striking with his irons is number one. Putting is pretty good and can get hot, and he can miss a few. But what's really in question is his tee ball. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone feels a little uneasy when he's got a driver in his hand, and he could hit it perfect, but he could also hit it crooked.
Yeah.
But he's the type of player now that he cannot win with his B game.
Right.
He has to have an A game, and his A game is not nearly what his A game used to be.
Right.
He has to play well, and he has to minimize his mistakes, and that's how he has to win and outlast these guys.
Yeah.
And lucky for all of us, that's exactly what the recipe was for him today. And besides chewing gum, I thought that was pretty interesting.
And wearing a mock turtleneck, but...
Yeah, exactly. So I tweeted on the 13th hole, he threw out a piece of gum and he got a fresh piece of gum. So, with tongue in cheek, we can say that he was able to access the present moment with a new piece of gum.
Does everyone start wearing mocks again, or what?
Well, I think everyone's going to start chewing gum. I think we brought back that. So that's pretty interesting. You know, Phil's chewing the gum and they're taking a page from Payne Stewart. I used to chew gum because of Payne Stewart.
Right.
In the latter part of my tour career, I really enjoyed it. It helped with the tension.
Okay.
You got something in motion. You're giving that jaw a good workout when the situation gets tight. And I highly recommend it.
Oh, okay. Okay, fair enough. No, you talk about the tension and, you know, I'm wondering, coming into today, given everything that went on with the tee times being pushed up, obviously because of weather coming in, they got pushed up to 7:30. The leaders didn't tee off until about 9:20. What did that do as far as their prep? I mean, Tiger's a guy who, you know, he's kind of a creature of habit. He loves his preparation time. He loves his routine, so to speak. What does that do to a guy?
Well, first of all, if you're not used to teeing off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday in a major, which Tiger is,
right,
it's very, very difficult to get used to, because you can't help but have your mind start to think ahead and right. build anxiety. It's very difficult to deal with. So Tiger's edge in being able to handle those situations, say from a Tony Finau and a few others as well, was removed.
Right.
So they all got that. And it's, you know, luckily for those guys who haven't had that kind of experience, to get on with it early in the morning is a blessing in disguise.
Okay.
So, you know, it was pretty interesting. So it depends who you are. I mean, I think everyone feels better. If you can kind of tee off with fresh golf course at 9:30 in the morning, it's way easier to get into the rhythm.
Okay.
And than it is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when your whole field in front of you has played the golf course. It's a way more difficult situation. So it helps everybody, but at the same time, the advantage that Tiger would have in those situations was removed.
I guess it's the same in football, isn't it? You know, when the opposing coach, you know, you get down into field goal range and the opposing coach calls a timeout just to make you think about it.
Sure.
You know, and really that's what's going on when you play at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, isn't it?
Absolutely. And then, you know, like, watch Tiger and observe his manner and his physical expression to try and glean a little insight as to how he's dealing with it. You know, the difficult thing is not the shot. The difficult thing is for him to stay patient
right
in between shots. I mean, I'm coming out of my seat watching him waiting for, you know, Molinari and Tony Finau to putt, even with this, you know, he's got a two-putt from whatever it is, 15 feet, 20 feet. It's very anxious moments, and
yeah,
it's really easy to get ahead of yourself and kind of lose focus,
yeah,
and get into a state where you're just, you don't know where you're at. So it's really a difficult moment, and he did a good job on keeping, that's what he means by, you know, staying patient and being present.
Yeah, yeah. Now, speaking of being patient, you know, and basically going through a crazy week, Corey Connors finishes with a tough round today. You know, he finished with a 76. But really, what's he take away from this, Dick? I mean, obviously he came in and he played three rounds under par. You know, what's he take away from this?
He takes away an enormous amount of experience.
Okay.
He's getting more comfortable. Well, first of all, the win last week was huge.
Mm-hmm.
He got into the Masters. He made the cut. He played quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just gathering the experience and becoming familiar with the feeling of major championships. So
yeah,
it's only going to bode well for him if he's, you know, gets into, he'll be into the PGA Championship because his win gets him in that.
Sure.
His win doesn't get him into the U.S. Open, but the more majors he gets into, and he, the more, just in the same way how he got into learning how to win on the PGA Tour, he's got to learn how to play well there and feel comfortable, feel like he belongs.
Right.
And then he's going to be able to perform, because there's no reason why he can't perform exactly the same way he did in winning, you know, his first PGA tournament than he is in future majors.
Right.
There's, you know, he has the composure. I think he has the mental fortitude to be able to handle those situations and win a major championship.
Yeah. You're Francesco Molinari. Here's a guy who, through the first three rounds, only had one bogey, which is incredible to me at Augusta. But, you know, he comes out, you know, probably the two things that stick out the most are the two double bogeys that he took today. What's going on in his mind right now?
Well, he, you know, I think what he's such a masterful player out there.
Right.
He knows that his routine and whatever state he's in works.
Yeah.
It served him well, and he won under the most pressure situation at Carnoustie last year, playing
right
with Tiger.
Right.
It served him well up until the 12th, you know, hole, when he made he made a bad swing or an unsatisfactory execution in that moment. He knows all too well that you have to be able to deliver all the way in, and
mm-hmm,
that one bad swing he made on the 12th hole
right
cost him a double bogey. It was
right
a two-shot lost event with that execution.
Right.
And then, you know, unfortunately, he made another bad shot, which clipped the trees, hit a pine cone, whatever, and plopped
right
into the water on the 15th hole. He's very well aware of what he needs to do, and, you know, he's not going to be perfect all the time.
Right.
And so I think it's only going to reinforce that he wasn't able to, you know, keep it tight all the way in,
mm-hmm,
and if you don't, then you're not going to win. So
right,
I think it only reinforces the game plan and the mindset that Molinari is already in.
Right. Augusta came away played a little easier than usual. Would you agree with that?
I'm sorry, Augusta came away which?
It played a little easier than it usually does.
Yes. Yes, I think it played easier because it got so much moisture, so
right
it didn't have that fiery, those putts. A lot of players were leaving these putts short
right
because they have all this experience of being so fearful of how fast they are.
Right.
And so which played into the hands of the long hitters.
Right.
They could fly the ball and the ball would stop, so it did. It did play a lot easier than normal, and I think that's just Mother Nature's contribution with the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that happens, and you got to play the golf course as you find it. And this year it was a lot lusher.
Yeah.
A lot softer than in previous years.
Will that cause the Mavens at Augusta to start thinking changes again?
No, I don't think so. I think they've got this thing dialed in pretty good. I'm sure they have the sub-air systems working, trying to suck the moisture out of it as much
right
as possible. I think that I think what they are doing is waiting to see what the USGA and the RNA are going to do as it relates to how far the ball travels. We saw that statement come out of Augusta National late last week, and you know, in they were referring to whether they're going to lengthen the 13th hole. So if the USGA comes in and puts some governors on, say, the ball, the club face, and the club head in an attempt to reduce how the ball goes, then they're not going to extend the 13th tee. Right. But if the USGA and the RNA do nothing, then they're going to buy some more property, and they're going to extend the 13th hole at Augusta to combat how far everyone's hitting it.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. But definitely for now, let's just sit and enjoy the historic moment that we just witnessed. Definitely one to put into the memory banks.
It's going to be, it's the storyline of all storylines. The Tiger wins, Tiger Woods wins his 15th major.
Fair enough.
Stuff.
Okay, Dick. Well, thanks very much as always.
Thanks, Hutch. Always a pleasure being with you.